All right. We're going to heaven. So I have to tell you about a dream I had about going to heaven. So in my dream, I saw Pastor Dave White. Pastor Dave White, there he is back there, yeah. So Pastor Dave, you had passed away and you went before St. Peter, and St. Peter was reviewing your life, Pastor Dave. And he was like, not bad. Yeah, you know, very few, just the few times you worked over Pastor Joe, that's about it. But very good life. Here is your heavenly Mercedes. You get to drive for eternity. Pastor Dave was excited. Then Pastor Vern came next. Pastor Vern, wave your hand there. Pastor Vern came up to St. Peter's, and St. Peter was like, oh, Pastor Vern, it's like a 50-50. It's lucky you've got Jesus as your Savior. 50-50. Here is your Chevy for eternity. Then Pastor Gary arrived at the gate, and St. Peter was like, oh, Pastor Gary, 5% good, 95% not so good. Here is your motorcycle for eternity. Well, they were driving around in my dream. They're driving around when all of a sudden, Pastor Dave and Pastor Vern have an accident. And Pastor Gary zooms up on his motorcycle and says, what happened? What's going on? And Pastor Dave said, I just saw Pastor Joe going by on roller skates. So, oh, well. I hope there's roller skating on those streets of gold. I love roller skating, so. So let's go to heaven. Revelation chapter 21. If you didn't bring a Bible, just grab one of those books on the chair in front of you. It's easy to find Revelation chapter 21. Just go right to the end of the Bible and go in two chapters. So Revelation 21, we already learned a couple weeks ago that God said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have what?
Passed away.
And there's no longer any sea or oceans, because most of the water that we have now is from the floods. And God says, he talks about this, I saw this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared beautifully like a bride for her husband. So there's the new Jerusalem is going to come down, this city. It's a city, it's a holy city, the holy city, the new Jerusalem. It's a city where God says, I'm going to live with men and women. I'm going to live with you, and you are going to live with me. And this is a city I'm going to make my home in. And in this city, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old things has passed away. And Jesus says, I'm making everything new, and my words are trustworthy and true. I've now discovered that my sermon on heaven is going to be in three parts. So this is part two. You know, I've been preaching on all the judgment through the middle of Revelation, right? So it's only appropriate that I spend some time about heaven, all right? So part three will be after Christmas. So we're going to start in verse 9, and let's begin to look at this city that we get to live in the future when we go to heaven. This will be after the millennium, and after he creates the new heaven and the new earth. Okay. Verse 9, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. This is a city that Jesus has been working on for 2,000 years. This is the city that Jesus says, I'm going there, and there's mansions in this city. There's all kinds of mansions, apartments, I don't know, but it's beautiful. God's been working on it. It comes down out of heaven on the new earth. Some people believe that John's having a vision on the new earth, and Jesus and John, the Apostle John who wrote this, is standing on what when he sees the new Jerusalem coming down on the earth? What's he standing on? A mountain. So there's mountains. How many of you like hiking mountains? All right, how many of you don't like mountains? You want the seashore. Okay, come in 2 weeks. I'll talk about the seashore then. All right. But for you mountain people, we'll be able to climb the mountains. So John's on the mountain, and he sees this city coming down. Verse 10, I carried me away in the spirit, to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as what? Crystal. So some believe that that it's actually like a big diamond, that the city, it's jasper, it's clear as a crystal, that like the New Jerusalem is this huge diamond that comes down out of heaven, okay, from the Lord. So who is this? This is Prince Harry. All right, and who's the woman? Meghan Markle. And what country is she from? U.S. And they're going to get married in May of 2018. And she's showing off her engagement ring. And I think to myself, you know why? First of all, if you love jewelry, you want to be in heaven, okay? You want to see this New Jerusalem. It's the ultimate in diamonds. I think every woman who wears a diamond ring, I think God's put that. It's like, that's a piece of heaven. Heaven is so wonderful, but I sprinkle the earth with some diamonds just to kind of let you know what heaven is going to be like. And you know, here's a great way to witness. You go up to your friend and say, oh, I didn't know you were a Christian. And they go, what do you mean? Well, you got a piece of the New Jerusalem on your finger there, that wedding ring. And they go, what? Yeah, that's the way heaven is. That's what God makes heaven out of. Now, imagine if a jeweler could take a diamond. Here's what happens with the diamond. Light comes from the outside into the diamond and then reflects out with these beautiful colors. What if a jeweler could take an LED light and insert it inside the diamond with a battery source so that when women wore their engagement rings, it would have a glow that would come out from their ring? That jeweler would be very wealthy. Women would be, can't you see the... Well, that's the way heaven's going to be. It shines with the glory of God. God lives inside this beautiful jewel, diamond, transparent gold city, and his glory shines through. You will see that the people on the earth, they can see the glow and the shine coming from this city from far away. All right, let's read on here. Gets more exciting. So, verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of what? Of Israel. So, here's, they're just kind of showing the 12 gates. Is St. Peter standing by one of the gates? No. Who's standing by the gates? 12 angels. Is St. Peter's name written on the gate? No. What names are on the 12 gates? The 12 tribes of Israel, okay? By the way, now that you know that secret, what gate would be the appropriate gate for me to enter heaven? Would it be the gate of Judah? Or Levi, or Benjamin, or Reuben, or what gate would be the appropriate gate for me to enter? The gate of Joseph! The gate of Joseph is one of the 12 sons of Israel. Okay, so I just think it'd be neat if I get to enter the gate of Joseph. All right, let's read on here. Verse 13. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So here's the foundation. And so the gates are the 12 names of the tribes of Israel, representing the Old Testament. The foundations, Peter, Thomas, James, John, Matthew, you know, the 12 apostles are on the foundation. Now, when I first read this, I was like, wait a second. How come the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 tribes, they get their names on the gates? The 12 apostles, Jesus says, for your sacrifice in starting the church, your names get carved into the foundations of the holy city. I was like, well, what about the rest of us? And then the Lord reminded me back in the beginning of Revelation when he writes to churches, he says to all the faithful believers that you get a pillar inside heaven. Inside heaven there must be floors, and there's pillars holding up the floors, and God puts your name on it. Have you ever been to a church where they have plaques, like they have a window and they'll have a plaque donated on behalf of Toomey family? And then someone will give this, you know, there'll be a plaque here. This railing was donated by the Smith family. Have you ever seen that? Okay, so it's somehow God does the same thing. He's like, when he's building the New Jerusalem, Jesus is like, you know what? Let's, you know, this faithful saint, I just always want to remember how faithful they were in witnessing and sharing. This pillar here, I'm gonna carve their name for eternity in that pillar. So it's going to be neat when we get to heaven what Jesus has built for all of us. Verse 15. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod, a yardstick, of what? Of gold. The yardsticks in heaven are gold. To measure the city, its gates, and its walls. So he's going to measure the city first. Verse 16. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. So 12,000 stadia is 1,400 miles. So the city is like a big cube. It's, let me see what the next picture is here. Oh, there's a yardstick of gold. That's an angel there. That's the Apostle John. The Apostle John was in his 90s when God gave him the book of Revelation. So it's a cube. It's as wide, as long, and as high, and it's 1,400 miles wide, long, and high. By the way, how many miles high does the average plane fly? About 5 miles, I think. Yeah, Air Force, maybe they get up to 10 miles. How high is this city? 1,400 miles high, okay? This is one gigantic city. If it landed, if that city, now I realize it's going to land on the new earth, but if it landed on the old earth, that's how big the city would be on top of the United States. This is drawn to scale. So there's the size of the New Jerusalem. That doesn't stand for New Jersey. Okay, I know. That's the New Jerusalem, and that's, some say it is almost exactly the same size as the moon, which is very interesting, since when Revelation was written, I don't think they had any idea how big the moon was. But the New Jerusalem is about the size of the moon. So that's how big it will be on the planet Earth. And God's glory will go out from that city. Now, some people believe that, what if this city is a, okay, we say it's a cube. Some people believe that maybe it's a pyramid. Because a pyramid would have a square base, 1,400 miles, 1,400 miles, and that then John measured the middle of the city, and it was 1,400 miles high, and that it's a pyramid, not a cube. Everyone with me? So I'm going to argue with you that I believe it is a cube and not a pyramid. And here's the reasons why. And then you can debate with the Lord later on. If I get to heaven, it's a pyramid. I'll live. Number one, all the pyramids that have been built were always built by ungodly people that actually were in war or fought against God's people. Often pyramids were used to sacrifice people. Some people believe that the pyramid is Satan's imitation of God's holy city. Instead of making it a cube, he made it a pyramid. This is the pyramid in South America. Guarding the pyramids in Egypt is the Great Sphinx, which literally means in English, the terrifying one. Literally, father of dread. That is Satan guarding his pyramids. Almost every pyramid in South America has dragons. These are actual pictures. Dragons carved into the pyramids. In Revelation, what does the dragon usually symbolize? Or it always does in Revelation, Satan. So I am not a fan of the pyramid. And in fact, here's a picture of Solomon's temple. Now, God gave directions and dimensions not only for the tabernacle that Moses built, but then later on for the temple that was built, and then a similar temple eventually that Jesus himself went into. And inside the temple was what was known as the Holy of Holies. It was behind the curtain. It's where God's throne was, the Ark of God, which was God's earthly throne. And what are the dimensions of the holy place? Well, in 1 Kings, for Solomon's temple, he prepared the inner sanctuary within the temple to set the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord there. The inner sanctuary was 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, and 20 cubits high. And in the tabernacle that God gave the specific instructions to in the holy place, the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt, is a cube. So all through, God's always had a cube for himself, not a pyramid like the pharaohs would have. And so I lean towards that the heavenly city is a big Rubik's cube. All right, let's talk about the thickness of the walls. Verse 17. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. And that works out to 200-foot thick wall of diamond gold material that kind of is transparent, so pure, such a pure diamond gold that God's glory can go through it and out of it, kind of like this picture is showing here. So here's the Empire State Building. Believe it or not, the walls of the Empire State Building are not that thick. And it's about a third of a mile high. And the walls, not too thick, can hold that building up. So engineers have figured out, you know, when engineers are bored working on nuclear stuff, they get sidetracked. And so they're figuring out, if you have a wall that's 200 feet thick, made of gold and diamonds, the hardest substances known to man that God has created, you can build on that wall a building that goes up 1,400 miles into space. By the way, is there enough room in the New Jerusalem to hold all of the saints? Okay? Supposedly, it's been figured out that if every single person that ever lived on the earth gets to heaven, that there would be 1 cubic mile per every person. So is that enough land for you? You would have 1 mile this way, 1 mile wide, 1 mile long, and 1 mile high. That would be your piece of property. Is that enough for you? Okay. But we already know that Jesus said, hey, broad is the road, big is the gate that leads to destruction, and many go that way. Small is the gate, small is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So we already know heaven isn't going to contain everyone. Someone has also figured out that usually cities have floors, and because there's pillars, they may be holding floors in this New Jerusalem. So someone figured out if you made every floor in the New Jerusalem the height of the Empire State Building, so which is about 1,500 feet high. So that would be your first floor. Then another 1,500 feet high. So each floor would be the height of the top of the tower of the Empire State Building. Is everyone with me? So each floor would be that huge. That if you took that that floor mass and added up all those floors, it would be the equivalent of all the, take away the oceans, all of the earth times 89 earths. Okay? There would be 89, however you say that, without oceans, landmass in the New Jerusalem. Is that big enough for you? And that's if the floors are that high, okay? All right, let's see here. Let's read on. 18, the wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony. If you are a jeweler, you've got to get there. The fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. So here's all the different jewels that are on those foundations. And by the way, is there anyone here that's kind of extra wealthy and you've got a lot of money hanging around? So I was reading, you can buy a New Jerusalem necklace that has all 12 of those jewels. It's only like, I don't know, $500,000. And that way, you know, you can walk around. This is the New Jerusalem. Oh, let me. Okay. Better yet, put your treasures in heaven. 21. The 12 gates were 12 what? Pearls. Each gate made of a single pearl. The great, and I'll come back to that in a second. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, that's Jesus, are its temple. You don't have to go to a building inside the city. Jesus is there. The city is the temple. You are in his house. Verse 23, the city does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb, Jesus, is its lamp. The nations, I love this. This means that there are nations on the new earth. So the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. This means there are nations on the planet, and it also means that there are kings over the nations. I think it's going to be a lot like how God created Adam and Eve. This beautiful, well, we'll get more into that in part three. But there's leaders over nations, and the nations and the kings will go to the New Jerusalem. I believe we will have flying horses, and we get to go into the city to worship the Lord. I believe all of the earth will gather once every week. 25, on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. So every Sabbath, all the nations will gather in the New Jerusalem and will all worship the Lord. So I don't know if we have an apartment in the New Jerusalem and we have a house in the countryside, or I have no idea. I don't know how big the mansions are and where they're located. Although I do see what man can build on earth. I just saw the mansion that Jay Leno bought in Connecticut. He just bought it like a month ago or a couple weeks ago. It's huge. I'm like, I can't believe what man has built. And if man can build that, imagine what God can build for all of us. Verse 27, nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you notice it says nothing impure will ever enter into heaven? Okay. Now come back to verse 21. The 12 gates were 12 what? Pearls. Each gate made of a single pearl. Last week at the 8 o'clock service wasn't the children's program, so I took questions from the congregation. And one of the questions that someone asked is there dinosaurs in heaven? And I made this comment that, yeah, I think there'll be a cute little brontosaurus. It's sinfulness that made him huge. He's only supposed to be like Dino in Fred Flintstone. Just a cute little brontosaurus, right? So I was kind of, you know, kidding. And then the Lord said to me this week, he said, you were talking about dinosaurs? Wait till you see the size of the oyster that the pearly gates come from. Okay? Because I don't know if you know this, pearls only come from oysters. Okay? So God's like, yeah, I got a special planet. They're huge. And that's where I get this gigantic pearl to make a gate. Now, let me tell you about pearls. First of all, oysters make white pearls and black pearls. They make more white pearls than they do black pearls. And the tradition is that when Adam and Eve got thrown out of the Garden of Eden, that Eve wept bitterly, and all of her many tears created the white pearls. Adam, being a tougher man, wept a little, and his tears made the few black pearls that you will find. Now, that's tradition, by the way. Not in the Bible. I think it's interesting. Do you know how pearls are made? I'm glad you asked. So here's a 1-minute film on how pearls are made. Those gates are big pearls. And I think it's appropriate that it is a pearl, because that got me thinking of all of us, that we are all pearls. I want you to picture the oyster is the church. And we're like a grain of sand or some kind of foreign sinner that comes into the church. Okay? And, you know, and it kind of irritates the church. You know what it's like when you get those strange people that come into church? They don't talk right. They don't act right. They're still doing sinful things. And it, you know, what are you doing in here? But then they give their heart to Jesus. And what that oyster does is it encoats that sand or that foreign substance with that nacre or whatever that thing is, and it encoats and turns into this beautiful translucent pearl. And the longer it stays in the oyster, the more coats, the more beautiful, the larger the pearl gets. So I thought, wow, we are sinners. We come into the church, and then we are coated in the righteousness of Christ. So Christ on the cross takes our sin, but then he gives us his covering, his coating, this beautiful righteousness of Christ that coats us. And the longer you walk with the Lord, we call that sanctification. So, like, if you just get saved before you die and go to heaven, you have, like, just one coating on you. But the longer, for those of us that are older in the Lord, the longer you're walking with the Lord, we call this sanctification. The more that the Lord's working in your life and transforming you and making you glow and be more and more like Christ and more beautiful as a pearl. So it just hits me. It says, the last verse in that chapter says, nothing impure enters into heaven. It's like the only thing that enters into heaven are the pearls. We are all pearls. And it's like God saying, that's why the gate is a big pearl. It's just only pearls come through this gate. Only those peoples whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you've given your heart to Jesus and you are coated in the righteousness of Christ. You've become Christ-like. God doesn't see you. He doesn't see your sinfulness, because you're coated with the glory and the righteous character of Jesus Christ. And I realize after we die, that sinful part that started, that's also destroyed and gone as well. So I want to close with this. A couple of weeks ago, I gave a challenge to give your heart to Jesus to avoid hell. We were going over the judgment of God, the final judgment. And so I challenged people, give your heart to Jesus so you don't have to go to hell. Forget that. Put that aside. I now want to challenge you to give your heart to Jesus, not because you're going to avoid hell, but in order to go to heaven. You can't believe how wonderful it is. And part three, I'll even go on to tell you more wonderful things about heaven. But you don't want to miss heaven. It is going to be amazing. The new planet, the no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And your tears are wiped away. And this great city that we're going to live in, and the jewels and the presence of God. And we travel out and we live with, you know, there's nations. And I mean, it's just going to be wonderful. I don't know why anyone would want to miss going to heaven. But you can't go to heaven unless you're a pearl. Because we're sinners. And nothing impure can enter heaven. The only way you're going to get to heaven is if you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. He takes your sin and he gives you his righteousness and covers you. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sinfulness. He sees the pearl of Jesus that is covering you. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. And I want to pray, if there's anyone here this morning, you're ready to go to heaven? Not today, hopefully. But you want to go to heaven someday, and you've never given your heart to Jesus. You have to give your heart to Jesus. He has to be your Savior. When you give your heart to Jesus, then your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you get to enter in to the new heaven and the new earth. So I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I want to ask you, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, to pray silently in your heart and to ask Jesus to be your Savior. I'll pray out loud, you pray silently. Every head's bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. That, I have blown it. I have lied. I have lusted. I have stolen. I have used your name in vain. I have not put you first place in my life. And I just want to repent. I am broken. But Jesus, thank you for paying the price for my sins on the cross, suffering hell in my place. So Jesus, I open my heart and ask that you would come into my life and be my Savior and Lord. Jesus, I want to be a pearl. I want to be covered with your presence, your righteousness. I want to live for you this day forward. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of my sins. And thank you that someday I'm going to literally walk those streets of gold in that city. I'm going to worship you every week, every day, for eternity. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I just want to pray a prayer blessing over those of you that prayed that prayer with me. If you prayed that prayer to give your heart to Jesus here this morning, say, hey, I prayed that, I'm going to heaven. I want you to just lift up your hand, and then after I see it, put it down, and that you prayed that prayer with me. God bless you, brother. I see you here. God bless you in the back. I see you. God bless you all the way in the back. Anyone else other than these three? If you pray that, no one's looking. Anyone else pray that prayer? Just slip your hand up and after see you put it down. Father, I pray for these three brothers and sisters in the Lord. Jesus, we pray that your Spirit would come upon them, that they would realize this day they have become a son of God or a daughter of God. And they've become pearls. That they get to enter into heaven, not because of good works or good deeds they have, but because they're coated with Jesus Christ. Jesus is their Savior and their righteousness. And Jesus, may your Spirit speak to their spirit, confirming to them that they belong to you from this day forward. Give them the assurance of their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.